Okay, welcome to episode... Wow, actually. Welcome to the special edition of WEC Podcast. Today we are going to talk about The Avengers, the movie, because we all just saw it within the past couple of days, and we're super excited. Just a warning, this podcast will be filled with spoilers. This is not a spoiler-free podcast. So stop now if you haven't seen it. Go see it and then listen to this.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Spoilers.
Unless you're like me and you like spoilers and you want to know what's going to happen because the whole tension of not knowing drives you nuts, then listen away.
But if you're like Katie and me who hate things like that, then turn off and do what she said.
So anyways, I am Katie.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Andy.
I'm Kelly.
And what we're going to do is we're going to go around and the first wave is just going to be our general impressions of the movie, and then we're going to dig a little bit deeper into kind of the characters, the story, the mythology behind it all. So Kevin, why don't you start?
This is going to be really quick. All I have to say is it wasn't as good as the first one, I felt, but I enjoyed it a lot, and I would give it probably a B+.
This is Mandy, and I'm like giddy with excitement from having just seen this movie a couple hours ago. I guess maybe if I'd seen the first movie recently, I could compare it, but as far as I'm concerned, this movie was A+. I loved it. It was so much fun. It was the right mixture of humor and action and, you know, character development. And I hate action scenes that go on and on and on and on. And I felt they balanced these really well. And I just thought it was filled with new characters and Easter eggs and so many cool things. So, Kelly.
Superheroes, action. It's my... everything. I love it. I will be so excited about it for the next couple days. Just shaking with excitement and joy. So I loved it.
Yeah, we both just saw this recently, so we're both giddy.
Yes.
Okay, so I, surprise, have seen this twice because I saw it on Friday night with my son and the husband, and then I saw it again this morning. The first time I saw it, I was like Kevin, where I think I enjoyed the first one more. And today, when I saw it, I liked this one much, much more. In fact, I think because of what you pointed out, because I wasn't nervous about certain things, I could relax and enjoy a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't get to enjoy the first time around. And
so, Katie, you're telling me I have to see it a second time?
You have to see it a second time. In fact, you might have to see it three times. But we're going to get into some of that.
So yeah, and it's looking like it needs more money, so maybe you could go again. Yeah. Apparently, it's the second biggest box office
but
ever.
But I can honestly see what you're saying, and that was my thought, too. And it didn't necessarily let me down. Like you were saying, the characters and everything, and I love the banter. I love the Joss Whedon effect of all of that. I guess I just, the first time I saw it, I was so worried that they were going to do something that I didn't want to happen.
Like that it what, clouded. Kill off a character that you like?
I thought they were going to kill off Hawkeye.
Yeah. Me too, because they were building up his family.
And I was so unhappy about it.
I don't know if you knew this, but Joss Whedon specifically put all those scenes in there to make you think that he was going to kill off
Hawkeye. And that's why, I mean, and I felt manipulated.
Yeah.
And I don't like that feeling. Yeah. That's like the opposite of a movie that I like.
Yeah, but the Steven Spielberg effect to...
Well, okay, and just as a warning, this is going to be spoilers for a lot of other things, so FYI.
Well, what are you going to spoil?
Joss kills everybody. He does. That's his trademark. He's proud of the fact. I love him, but still.
Right. Well, and so let's switch over to maybe characters. Did you have a favorite character?
She's looking at me, Kevin. Favorite character, wow. I liked what they did with Hawkeye. I liked the fact that they expanded him to be an actual human other than just a side non-superhero character. I was surprised with the family aspect that they just thrust upon us. Best character? That's interesting.
Or dynamic.
I'm going to have to say Hawkeye. I liked that. I liked that whole...
I did too.
I liked that whole thing.
I liked he got injured at the beginning and he's lying there on that cot and I was like, oh, he's the one that's injured. And then they just flip it on its head and the next thing you know, he's like leading the charge and making sure everyone's safe. And there was a real story arc for him in this movie.
Yeah, and I think, some people would probably, dismiss it as, Well, Hawk's the only basically non-super guy, maybe next to Black Widow, and which is why they kept on peppering jokes throughout at his expense. But it definitely humanized him, and it definitely made you care for the character, and I liked that. And I have to say, because they added so many characters to this movie, to actually focus on one in that depth, I thought was a treat. Because I thought they had to like shoehorn so many characters into this movie.
They really did.
To have like the one or two lines just to get them in. That, you know, to see a little bit of character development was nice.
That's an excellent point. And in fact, I think maybe that's another of Joss Whedon's trademarks, is the ability to balance so many different character backstories to the point where you don't feel confused, but that everybody gets a little bit of time.
Yeah, though I did feel that the Thor part, and this is outside my bias because I love him so much, but I really felt that his lacked...
He wasn't in there at all, except for the naked in the pool scene.
Yeah, I'm like...
Was he naked? Really?
In my mind, he was naked.
Okay, to clarify, he was naked. We knew he was naked from the waist up, though I have to admit the whole time going, show's naked, show's naked. Hey.
Terrible.
The water. You can't take his fancy clothes in there.
It's leather. It would chafe and shrink.
Horrible.
Yes.
It's only practical.
What character?
Okay, well, I did love the twin dynamics sure. But I would say, in the end, my favorite character would be Natasha Romanoff, a.k.a. Black Widow, because you really got to see a different side of her. She also had a story arc. You got to see her with a child, so you got to see that she has a, you know, maternal instinct, even though she reveals something really intimate in that regard that makes you really sad. And you got to see her... as a potential love interest for, and I pause, you know, when I say things that are super spoilery in case you don't want to hear them, but love interest with Bruce Banner. And then the fact that she's the lullaby was that in Avengers as well? Or is this new?
She's
the lullaby that brings him to calmness. And she was freaking tough, hard as nails. She kept saving their asses.
And how much did you love the fact that she knew all about the family? So everyone else was surprised. Yeah. And she's like, and Natasha.
Well, you know what? He filled in her backstory in a way that no other movie has, because she's been in all those Iron Man movies and then the Avengers and then Captain America and Mystery. Red on my ledger was all I ever like remember her like alluding to all that stuff. And you can get more from the comics than you can from the movies on Black Widow. So this is the first time they filled her out. She's actually now complete.
And did you guys see that Cosmopolitan interview with her and Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson? It's basically the interviewer turned it on the head of, you know, so basically they were asking her all the man questions, quote unquote, and him all the, you know, so what did you wear on the red walk? And then they were saying, so how did you like doing those action sequences, Scarlett? It was just this, and they just played along, and it was fantastic. It was very funny, and that's the thing. There has been a little bit of controversy. They've been talking about the fact that she's not on any of the merchandise, and they're talking about Disney saying, well, men aren't going to want women on their, you know, and of course, it's huge controversy.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we went and saw it, my son was like, well, I know they're going to kill off one of the Avengers. I think it's got to be Black Widow because she's not on any of the marketing.
Isn't that breaking your heart? It did.
Well, and you know what's funny is this, they're saying like, you know, that men wouldn't buy it or whatever. I have a t-shirt. Okay, this is mainly DC, but it's a Wonder Woman t-shirt. Every time I wear that, someone comments on it positively.
Yeah.
Every single, to the point, I almost don't want to wear it anymore because people say stuff.
Well, because people want to see a Wonder Woman movie.
Well, but they also, I think it's, but it's still a female character and people still want to see it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. No. But I agree completely. I loved her in this movie.
Is that your favorite character too?
No.
Did you hear that, you know, I think it was the scene, spoilers, whatever, in the bar where it's getting, where they're behind the bar. And she's holding him down, like, don't turn green on me, don't turn green on me. She was really pregnant.
She's like pregnant the whole movie.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
They had body doubles and everything.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she did such a good job.
Yeah.
Because they were teasing her and Jimmy Kimmel when they were like, oh, wouldn't riding that motorcycle. She goes, yeah, I rode the motorcycle. No. It was cute. So who's your favorite?
It's going to be Bruce Banner. Mark Ruffalo Oh my God, I think he does such a good job with that character.
Yeah, you really once again, feel for him.
You feel for him, and when he is the Hulk, and he's sitting in the plane, and he turns off the thing, broke my heart.
Especially because he's the Hulk and he's breaking your heart.
Yeah.
Hulk, sure.
You know what? Comparing the first movie and the second movie as far as the Hulk goes, he's so many times more realistic looking even. And he was pretty realistic looking in the first one. Even though I'm such a dork. I'm like, oh my God, they put hair on the Hulk's chest too.
Yeah. They did a really good job.
And to be able to convey those emotions when he's doing motion capture, so it's not even really his face, I think that it's that character.
Heard that Andy Serkis, who's in this too, which I was like really fun. He was the arms dealer.
Right.
That was him.
Yeah. But Mark Ruffalo was saying that Andy Serkis really helped him a lot on this one.
Yeah. Wait, who's him?
He was the arms dealer.
You know, the guy with the thief.
The gun is arm.
Oh, sorry. I recognize it, but I didn't.
Sudden revelation.
That's when you really know that he's a phenomenal actor. Because you don't get that from the Gollum.
No.
In fact, I
was watching him and going, I'm trying to hear Gollum in that voice. There's nothing.
No.
That guy should be in more movies.
He's a chameleon.
As an actor. Mm-hmm. Not just a motion capture guy.
No idea.
Which he does great, but he should do more of that.
He really should.
But you're right. I heard that interview with Mark Ruffalo, and he was saying that Andy Serkis kind of started like a school to show people.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he's got like his own kind of thing. If I'm remembering correctly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that has to be huge now.
Mm-hmm. So who's yours?
Okay. So I love the dynamic, first of all, but my favorite character, actually, what I walked out going, I love Vision.
Who is that actor?
Paul Bettany.
I know.
Bettany.
What has he been in?
He's been Jarvis the entire time.
He's been a lot of things.
Master and Commander with Russell Crowe.
And he was in that tennis movie.
Oh,
okay.
Also, he was in a movie, I think, called Legion, where he played...
Yes, he was in a superhero movie.
The sequel. So.
But here's what I love about Vision. The visual, stunning.
Amazing.
CGI, oh my God, took my breath away. And then the fact that he was balanced, and Paul Bettany's face as he's talking, and the fact that he looks at Thor's cape, and he's like, I want a cape. And then the cape grows, and I was like...
That was great.
I love you so much.
Did Paul Bettany do Jarvis's voice the whole movie?
The whole movie.
Okay.
All of the Iron Man's.
Movie. Every movie. Oh, he's been... Mm-hmm. And so then now he has a role in the movie.
Now
and
he's kind of Jarvis in an android.
Was this planned from way back when?
No.
I don't think so.
No. And the thing is that I questioned, why is Paul Bettany playing Vision if he's Jarvis?
I felt the same way.
And so that was kind of nice how they integrated that.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
Jarvis and Agent Carter is a different guy who he's really good too.
But he's the real butler. He's not the AI.
But that has to be where the name... I mean,
Because Jarvis was
his AI
Howard
after
Stark's
his
butler.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
What I wanted to know is that since Paul Bettany was going to do the Vision, who was going to replace Jarvis for Tony Stark? And I realized he pulls out that stick that says Friday. I found out looking online that has a precedence in the comics.
Oh.
That Tony Stark actually creates a holographic secretary named Friday.
Oh.
Who just floats in the air and things like that. So it has precedence.
And who's the actress that did the voice?
Yeah, I wondered that.
You know what?
Scottish.
I don't know. But I think you're right.
So. Maybe she has a role in the future.
I hope so.
I saw her name for like a split second, but I didn't recognize the name.
Okay.
So...
I like the way they explained why the two women weren't in there. Why Pepper and Jane.
That was nice.
So that was kind of funny.
That was funny.
Yeah.
It was testosterone.
And I like Maria Hill.
Yes, I do too.
I like her a lot. Oh, okay. So I understand Kevin doesn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I got to bring up how well they tied the TV show and that movie together.
Okay, so admission here. when I left both times, I was like, what is Theta Protocol? Because that was in the thing, and that's what I thought it was. But then Mandy said, no, when he says it's time to call in the Avengers, that's when they go get the scepter.
So yeah. The movie starts basically where the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ended this past week.
Yeah. So I got that.
It took me two times
and somebody to tell me. That's how oblivious I am.
And in the TV show, there is a character who is one of the Inhumans. So with special powers, who's just got special powers, and she's able to see the future. And so she saw Slovenia. Is that what the heck that city's the
Oh, I don't remember what it's called.
But anyway, where she's like Sokovia, being, you know, cities torn apart, metal men everywhere, and they showed flashes of that in her vision.
I remember that vision, but I love
how they integrate that.
And it looks like Fury's back.
Which is nice because they have a new facility.
Yay! So I'm having Fury's back.
Alfonso.
Oh, someone's gonna need to take him down.
Yeah, I want Gonzalez to go down.
Oh, but
down,
I love down, that actor.
I'm so mad at him.
I liked him when he commanded the spaceship. He's good Adama. Yay! But now he needs to go down.
All right.
Because he's hiding stuff in his ship.
Oh, so what about favorite part?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Just real quick, because you like the Vision. Did you notice any dynamic between him and Scarlet Witch?
Was there any in the movie? But I know the relation. I know what you're about to say.
So what are you about to say?
They become in love in the comic books. They have a relationship. She loves an android. I'm just saying.
And they get married. And
they moved to New Jersey.
And
they have little android babies.
Yes. They have children.
Okay, I don't want to be too naive here, but how the hell does that work?
How the hell does a Vision work? Let's not get into it. We can get lost.
And the comic books really have nothing to do with these. Well, okay, they do have some things to do. And that's the thing. Joss Whedon's constantly giving you hints. So, you know, when Vision goes down and he rescues her, that was his one toss-up to the comic book community.
Now I feel so fulfilled.
Saying, yes, those two have a connection to the comic books.
How much did you love her? I loved her.
And Quicksilver.
I loved him, and I love that actor.
Were any of you surprised that they turned? That they went from Ultron's side to the Avengers side?
I was hoping, but I didn't know.
I knew. And I'm kind of checking my watch, going, okay, when's it going to happen? And then when it happened, I'm like, oh, okay, finally. It's finally happened.
But no, I knew it had to happen.
Yeah,
it
because she's an Avenger.
I also knew from the comics that they're both good.
So. And I also knew who their dad is. Even though they can't say it in the movie, I know who their dad is.
Yeah. That's who? Magneto?
Magneto, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, didn't the twins are in the X-Men series, right? Didn't they show up in one of the recent X-Men movies?
The Days of Future Past, Quicksilver's in it, but Scarlet Witch, I don't think, is in it.
Okay.
I don't think she's in it.
Yeah.
But Quicksilver's the one who helps rescue Magneto.
And maybe that's why they kill him off, so he can continue a life in the X-Men franchise.
That's a good point. I think that might be right.
Good point.
Okay, I'm sorry. You were saying when I got so excited about my little tidbit.
No, I'm glad you brought that little tidbit.
I do want to mention, though, Vision. When I was growing up and reading Marvel comic books, I thought Vision was the coolest character.
Really? I've never even heard of him.
Because Vision, he could vibrate through walls. He was like the coolest freaking character. The other thing is he is very Spock-like.
I can see that.
Moderated. Mm-hmm. Personality, but he's also very much kind of like the Silver Surfer, in which case he's not always on the side of the humans.
Yeah, isn't there in the comic books at some point
he started out as a in the comics he started out as a creation of Ultron, and he was actually completed as one of his henchmen, and then he realized Vision did what Ultron's purpose was in trying to slaughter humanity, and that's when he turned and became an Avenger. And so he was an Avenger for a while, and then he went back to Ultron because his mind was taken over by Ultron, all this different stuff. But for the most part, he's been a good character and an awesome character and one of my favorites.
Okay. Who in the comics, who created Ultron? It wasn't Tony Stark, right?
No, it was Hank Pym.
Oh, the Ant guy. Ant-Man.
Ant-Man. Who is actually going to be played by Michael Douglas in the upcoming movie.
Because he's a really, really bad guy.
Well, it was the same idea. It was like an accident.
Or because I thought one of the Ant-Men was a really, like, nasty, horrible guy who beat his wife and all this other stuff, because it's Marvel and they do that kind
of... No, you need to read The Age of Ultron by Brian Michael Bendis. That has...
Which has nothing to do with the movie, but it's an awesome, awesome comic.
And it has all the different characters in it, and it goes back and forth in time, and it talks about the origin of how Ultron was created and then what went wrong, and Wolverine's in it, and there's a whole...
Is this a single comic book or a series?
It's in a trade now.
It's in a trade paperback, so it's like a number of single issues.
Yeah. But so that's where all that comes from.
Okay. I had a question to you, Katie, about the comic, and specifically Ultron. The character of Ultron in that comic, did you see that character in the movie?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I didn't.
Oh.
I felt that the Ultron comic character was far more threatening than the movie. I felt that was one of my biggest problems. I thought that Ultron, James Spader, great actor, did a great job, a lot of great lines, a lot of surprising things that happened. But I think that the threat came from mostly the swarm of minion robots that hit the team. I didn't really feel a direct threat from Ultron himself. And that's one of my biggest pet peeves. I wanted to see I wanted the Avengers to fear Ultron. And maybe that's like expecting too much. But
yeah, they seem more scared of Scarlet Witch,
which makes sense.
But that was my main problem. They're scared of a bad dream, and they're not scared of an actual.
Scared of the bad dream, but the bad dream brings them down.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And the bad dream brings them down. Ultron doesn't.
Well, the thing is, once I haven't read the comics, so I'm just going by the movie. But I would be more scared of someone messing with my mind than something that I can literally grab with my two hands and rip into pieces. And there was nothing about Ultron that was a threat as far as his physical embodiment. They ripped him to shreds over and over and over again.
And he just come back.
And the Vision took care of that. And that was my biggest problem with the Ultron character.
So here's the thing with that. So here's my kind of counter to that. In the comics, one of the reasons Ultron is so scary, and that's why I said I do see a resemblance, is the fact that he's not really one person. He can split through all this internet, and his minions basically take over the world, and they are freaking frightening. And the fact that, like, in that one scene when Black Widow is talking to who she thinks is Ultron, and then he just gets ripped apart, and the new Ultron walks up. That's what's threatening about Ultron to me, and the fact that he's not really there. You could rip him in half, and he's actually somewhere else. He could be on the other side of the country. Or the other side of the world. And in the comic book, they do that. They basically show how he basically kind of proliferated, just, robot upon robot upon robot upon robot until it covered the world and destroyed it.
Well, to me, what was threatening about him was his vision for the world. I mean, his vision for the world is no humanity, more, AIs like him. I found that pretty threatening.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing about this. This is a Disney film. So,
and this has Joss Whedon's stroke over everything.
So you can go dark, but what is more scary to a kid? I mean, really scary, is to have your superhero sad.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, when you're talking about, like, really feeling threatened, to have Captain America, like, I love the fact, by the way, Agent Carter was in the
movie. Yay!
I was like, thank you.
I was wondering, and then she appeared. I was like, yes!
I know, and they had a little
as a dream, but okay.
No, who cares?
She's the best character.
Dead as a dream also, so.
I hope they constantly do that.
Little piece of trivia, the band that was playing in the dream was named after the guy who created Ultron and The Vision.
Oh, wow.
I think his name is Roy Thomas.
Oh, wow.
It was the Roy Thomas Band.
Oh, very cool.
And that was their little shout-out to the creator of Ultron and the Vision.
Oh, how cool. Speaking of shout-outs, the shout-out to Disney. Almost got hit over the head with it.
What?
I got no strings to tie me down. Oh, for God's sakes, quit the Pinocchio references. Please stop.
I liked it. But you know, it's such an appreciated Disney movie.
I loved it. What irritated me is one of the trailers that got me really going was when Ultron walks up and he says that line. He says, "There are no strings on me." And he doesn't say that in the movie.
Yeah, he does.
Not in that way. Not in that scene.
But that happens a lot in the trailer versus the actual.
That's actually nice when there's something that's in the trailer that isn't in the movie, because then that part of the movie wasn't spoiled.
Yeah, because they have to kick out the trailer so early before they're finally done.
Yeah. But the thing about him being Ultron being everywhere, I thought it was interesting that they cut him off from the internet. But I think it would have been this is Kelly and I'm dark. Go with this. I think it would have been cool in that the after credit or middle credit section if they would have then gone to the internet and show one little blue square. Because you never can wipe out anything off the internet.
Well, that was my problem with the end credit scene. If we're talking about issues we had. Really, I didn't have any major issues with anything, but I did have an issue with that end credit scene because Thanos, number one, it was too brief. Normally they spend a good 2 minutes on it, and this was maybe 20 seconds, if that, and the majority of that time was unveiling the glove, the gauntlet,
which was technically the first time we actually see the glove.
Oh, really?
I mean, okay, so in the first Thor movie there's a treasure room where people say the glove is there, but it actually has all the jewels on it. I don't know who it was, but somebody in Marvel said that's actually a false glove. That's not the actual gauntlet. So this is actually the first time you see the gauntlet because it has no jewels. It has no Infinity Stones.
Well, and that was my issue. Because the only time we're seeing the Infinity Stones is in Thor's vision, right?
Right.
So that's where Thor played a big role in this, mm-hmm. in tying all the movies together and kind of saying, hey, we have four. He was the one that had the vision. He was the one that said, we have four of them so far.
And the only realistic naked chest. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, naked Thor. So you set it up and you see the stones. And then the gauntlet and Thanos go by in a heartbeat, and there's no tie-in to the stones. So, if you're a kid getting into this, so let's just say I'm a 12-year-old kid, and I'm excited. What is going to connect? In other words, you would have to have somebody sing this. You go, oh no, that's the gauntlet, and those stones fit in the gauntlet.
Yeah, but they just go home and figure it out, and it's like an Easter egg. They're set on a hunt.
I realize that, but it's remember the end scene to was it Thor, Dark World, where they go to the Collector that ended up in the Guardians of the Galaxy, right? And they want the Collector to hold on to the Tesseract, want you to hold on to this. And there's a little bit of a setup, and you see, and you kind of get the impression, and at the end, he's we are on our way to collecting them all. And it's it filled it out, as opposed to put my algae up to take care of this myself. Done.
I think that was the reveal, though, the gauntlet itself. But and Thanos setting up the next baddie. Is that who Thanos is? The next bad
Thanos
guy?
He's always been the baddie.
Yeah, but I see the next one in the next movie.
He's the one. He won't show up for another 3 years.
Yeah, because that's who we're building up to.
There's going to be a Captain America movie. There's going to be a Thor movie before there's going to
Captain
be
Captain Marvel, Guardians. All of it's coming.
Before the next Avengers movie, and the next Avengers movie is called The Infinity War, and it's a two-parter, and that's where Thanos is going to be the big.
So the next
guy.
Avengers okay. movie is
yeah.
For. Here's my other dumb non-Marvel. Okay, so and actually this is about the movies. So I know we saw one Infinity Stone in the Loki Pokey Stick. Which is what Kevin Smith calls it. Makes me laugh. Then we saw one in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Okay, there's five of them or four of them?
There's six of them.
Yeah, there's six.
Have we seen the other four then?
We've seen two others.
There's one. One in the Vision's forehead.
But that's the one from the Loki Pokey Stick.
Okay.
No, well,
yeah.
The Tesseract.
Yeah, you're right.
So we have the Tesseract.
That's one. Okay, Tesseract.
You have the Vision, which is Loki's scepter. Uh-huh. You have the Guardians of the Galaxy, which is sitting at the Nova Corps.
Right.
And then what's the other one? We have seen the other one.
Yeah, there was another one.
I'll look it up.
Because I saw it, and there was a website that said we have seen four of the six.
Okay.
All right.
So that's where I'm... Okay, so on the glove, one goes above each finger, one goes above a thumb. Where's the fifth
I
one
know,
go?
I know, that's exactly what I was one. Thinking. I was like, there should be five. There should only be five.
No, there's one, two, three, four, five, and then one in the center.
Oh, one in the center, okay.
Is that the biggie? Is there like one stone above all other stones?
I don't know.
The one stone that will rule them all.
And then the other dumb question, do those have anything to do with like the Mandarin's rings? Didn't the Mandarin's rings have power too?
I didn't see Iron Man 3.
No, that's... I'm not getting that from that. I'm getting that from cartoons.
Oh, no. I don't... I mean, no. Although,
See, that's why I like DC. It's so straightforward. There's only a couple characters.
Well, here's the thing. The difference between... I don't know if... Do you read DC?
Some, yeah.
Do they have... In the comics, because I don't read DC... At the beginning, do they of the comics? Do they give like a summary of what's gone on before? Because I've always I found that is a difference between Marvel and DC comics. Marvel comics, you buy a comic, and in the first page it says previously, and it'll give like a 2-paragraph summation of what's gone on in the story. So you could pick up any, you know, it's like if it's like 5 issues in. You could pick it up and you're up to speed. You can't do that with a DC comic, as far as I understand. Mm-hmm. And so it's more difficult to just kind of leap into a DC story.
Right, but there's so many, there's so much fewer, you know, like there's Batman and you know his rogues gallery. And you know, then there's Superman and his, but the backstory of the Joker has no backstory. I mean, not that I've, can think of. I mean, you don't know what his real name is. You don't know in the comics. I don't think you even really know why he's white and like white as in chalky white, not Caucasian. You know, why his hair is gray. I mean, like that kind of stuff. I think people have kind of touched on it, but I know you don't know what his real name is. So his whatever name they gave Jack Nicholson, that was really cute, but it had nothing to do with the comics.
Okay, so here's the stones. The Tesseract is the space stone. The Loki scepter is the Mind Stone, right. Mind Stone. The ether in Thor's The Dark World, the red ether, that is the reality stone. And then the power stone was in the Guardians.
And what are the two we're missing?
All we need now are the soul and time infinity stones.
Oh, and infinity is the name of the next movie, Avengers movie. Age of Infinity.
Yeah, and this website, which is screenrant.com, says...
It's called Infinity War.
Infinity War, oh, okay.
Says that Thanos will attempt to collect them all and put them together in the Infinity Gauntlet, first introduced in Odin's vault in the original Thor, and showcased at the Marvel booth at Comic-Con in 2010. And then, you know, it goes on, but...
So won't it, like, vaporize Thanos? Because wasn't that the big thing in Guardians of the Galaxy? I know it is because I just watched it where they
Thanos is all powerful.
But there were like, what, 6 guys trying to hold on to it and they couldn't do it. But Thanos is more is stronger than
this. Well, not only that, he's going to put it into a gauntlet. Just like, you know, you can put it into things.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. According to the comics, all the stones want to be together. Like the rings. The Nazgul.
Well, quick note about box office, because I'm a big box office person. So I just read that this is the second highest grossing of all time, the first being the first Avengers movie. It made over $200 million. This one made $190 million. And then Iron Man 3 is the third in the history. And then Harry Potter Deathly Hallows 2, part 2, is number 4. So, okay, so how about we talk about what the most impactful part of the movie was for us? Our favorite part or something that really... blew us out of our seats.
Okay, so we'll wrap it up with maybe thoughts on what was the most powerful scene and then maybe where you see it going or what you'd like to see.
Yeah.
And then before we get there, let me just say one thing about the Black Widow Bruce Banner thing. I wasn't a fan because I'm not a fan of Beauty and the Beast type relationships. We discussed Beauty and the Beast in one of our podcasts.
I found some of that awkward.
Well, here's the thing. I love that character. I love Black Widow. And she could literally be with anyone, and I'd be fine with it. I love Mark Ruffalo. He can actually do no wrong in my book. So he makes a fantastic character, whatever he was going to play. I felt that did nothing for me, unfortunately. I know it'll probably do a whole bunch for other people, but I just didn't...
No, I don't think you're going to be alone in that.
I was like, why?
to me,
why do you have to take a female character and match her with somebody? I don't get that.
My attitude is, what was the point? I mean, you get to see a little bit of humanity in Black Widow, but at the end, they're the exact same people they started out as, brooding. They're both brooding characters who try and hide it or try to suppress it, and that's how they ended the movie.
Well, I kind of see it as the major theme of myself in this was, first of all, everyone's a monster. They're all monsters. And also, you know, monsters don't get a happy ending, which is a big Disney thing if you watch Once Upon a Time. And that's true. No one got a happy ending.
Yeah, no.
And I think that was what the story, at least that's what I took away from it, is you can try to be whatever and you can love someone, but if this is what your fate is, this is all you're going to get.
So it did, and it felt like it broke up the team a little bit, and I wonder, so that's my kind of takeaway in terms of how we're going to go forward, is what is going to happen there, because I don't know. I like, actually, to be honest, the brother and sister type camaraderie between Captain America and Black Widow, and the fact that they teamed them up at the end, that was nice. And the fact that they were already teamed up, in a sense.
I think that kind of made up for the romance that never really happened. Don't you think?
Maybe,
the Disney went and introduced this romance and then said, oh, psych. And then put back her relationship with Captain America, which I love. That was like one of my favorite parts about that movie, the Captain America movie, Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I agree. Banter, their back and forth.
The fact that they have a non-romantic relationship between a man and a woman. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, they have great chemistry. They had great chemistry in The Winter Soldier, and I don't think they interacted enough in this one.
Banner and Black Widow getting together, that didn't bother me, and actually I'm one of the people like, oh! if they would have had her get together with Captain America, that would have bothered
me. Yeah, I would have liked
that. That would have made me upset.
That would have bothered me, too.
But the way they handled it, I actually kind of liked it.
Oh. I like the fact that his flashback, whereas everyone else was bothered by his, and he got out of his thinking, you know what, that person who should have been affected by that flashback, that's not me anymore. It made me sad for him, but it also made you realize that he's a completely new character, new life, you know.
That's interesting.
He's not brooding about Agent Carter, it doesn't appear to me, and that made me sad happy.
You know what was interesting, though, is they didn't show you what nightmares were in the Hulk's mind. And I just realized that.
I think that was intentional, because I think that anything they showed wouldn't have matched your imagination of what he was dreaming.
But what's interesting is what made the Hulk mad. And this came up in the Mark Ruffalo interview. The thing that made the Hulk mad? Calling him Bruce. And I bet you the thing in his head was him being Bruce and being weak.
Exactly, because the Hulk has this hatred of Banner.
Because
and so weird. Whenever you call him Banner, he says puny Banner.
and I just have one more tidbit cross between the TV show. So Adrian Palicki, she plays Bobby Morris in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they've been talking about there might be a spinoff with her and Lance Hunter. And I found out that her character in the comics is called Mockingbird. And at one point, even though there also are comics with Hawkeye, you know, married with the family, there's also a huge spinoff of Hawkeye and Mockingbird comics.
Okay, she needs to be with a guy on the show.
No, they're not gonna do that at all in this world. But I just found that this was all from a website called comicbookresource.com. They printed this great article, and I found so many interesting connections.
It goes back to what you were saying about Hawkeye. I thought everything you said about what happened in this film, I really enjoyed his progression. And I liked the fact that he was so much more part of this team than before.
Great. Especially since he's the one that says to Wanda, Scarlet Witch, look, I'm a guy with a bow and arrow, and everybody's these. You know, it's weird. You know, I like that. I like the fact that the new member of the Avengers is being kind of talked into being an Avenger by him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and yeah, I think though in the first movie, he really couldn't have much character development. since he was mind controlled the whole time.
Right.
And I thought that was good, though, that when she tried to control his mind, he goes, I've done that already.
No.
Because when he was on the phone and he said he was talking to his girlfriend, I thought it was her controlling his mind through the phone.
Oh, yeah. No, I just thought it was something we hadn't seen. Like,
yeah, I was waiting for something bad, actually.
I was waiting for... That was foreshadowing for something I knew that was coming, so...
Yeah, no, I thought it was going to be great.
So I'm hoping... My thing for the future, Hulk have his own movie.
Really?
I really want the Hulk to have his own movie.
I honestly don't think that's happening.
I don't care. I want to see Mark Ruffalo for a whole 2 hours on the screen. I love him.
Okay, well, what I would like to see probably is them together. I don't like the idea that they're flung off into different spaces. I do like the Easter eggs of Falcon and Iron Patriot, and those are fun to kind of have them pop in.
Is he Iron Patriot or War Machine?
War Machine.
Oh, is it War Machine?
It's War Machine in the movie.
Oh, okay. But in the comics, isn't it Iron Patriot?
I think it's...
Iron Patriot is where he's like all red, white, and blue. But in this one, he's kind of gray.
So he hasn't been pimped out yet.
Right. Well, didn't he look like that in Iron Man 3?
With red, white, blue? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they call him Iron Patriot or did they call him War Machine? I thought they called him War Machine in that, too.
I haven't seen
it. I have no idea. There's
two movies in this universe I haven't seen. It's Iron Man 3 and the second Thor movie. Which means some of this, some of the references in this movie, I think.
Which I'm rather shocked and disappointed.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Me too.
Because those are of the two. Those are my favorites.
Plus, he doesn't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
How can you not watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? We can edit this out.
We have all of them out.
Well, with okay, so
I can watch all of season one. I just can't watch the rest of it.
The Iron Man 3 was one of my favorite films of all time, and then Thor Dark World came along, and I was like, oh, I love this
movie. And then Captain America Winter Soldier came along, and it was even better.
But my complaint about this movie, no Loki.
I know, right?
But he got mentioned.
He did get mentioned.
Oh my god, the language thing.
Oh, I love that
line.
That
was so cool.
So
Didn't even talk about the Vision and the hammer.
That was another cool one. The language line and then the hammer bit.
That was awesome.
That's what one of the things Joss Whedon's really great of. He'll introduce some little tidbit at the beginning and then he'll put it through. And you know, one of the things I recognize, it was probably also a Joss Whedon thumbprint, is that blonde extra at the very beginning. She's in the cafe with the kid, and then throughout any other Sokovia scenes, she appears, and then at the end she's the one who needs, you know, that basically is the reason why Quicksilver dies.
Yeah, her child killed Quicksilver.
Yeah. But I thought that was interesting. He like takes this extra and makes her almost integral.
Right. And I know we've been saying that there's no character development for the three biggies, but there was a lot of setup for the Civil War movie.
Yeah. Yes. And what's the Civil War movie?
It's where superheroes are being...
Fighting superheroes?
No. Well,
they're being identified.
Yeah, they have to register, and they have to be... they're basically being controlled or monitored by the government.
Is this coming up? Is this...
Yeah. Yes.
That is the next Captain America movie.
Right.
And it's basically Captain America as opposed... He basically gets into a giant argument with Iron Man.
Yes. Tony Stark is in favor of this law that they pass, and ironically, Captain America becomes a rebel.
Yeah, that's not ironic because was set up.
Right, and it fits when you think of what...
No, I mean ironic, I'm sorry, but I only mean ironically because he's the Boy Scout. He's the guy
anti all of the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff. He's the main reason S.H.I.E.L.D. is down.
That's complete, and that makes sense. I'm just, that's why I said ironic is because he's
the face of the government.
For,
and now
for crying
he's the
out
rebel
loud, he's
of the
Captain
government.
America.
Yeah, but he also fought a government.
Yeah, no, he's
that forced people
been
to be registered and then end up being slaughtered. That's why he's against it.
Right.
You know, I mean, so it makes sense. And Tony Stark has always been even when the government said don't get to say who you are. Think about the first movie. He comes out and goes, "I'm Iron Man." I mean, that's all about. He's all about the upfrontness.
I just like the fact that they weren't enemies at the end, but you could tell, not enemies. I know they're not going to be like true mortal enemies, but there was so much set up in the sense of Captain America is just done with Stark.
Yeah, okay, I thought quick. That was interesting.
Battle between Captain America and Stark. Who wins? No, I'm just kidding. Curve it all back around.
God, I don't know.
So what I'll do is I'll see Age of Ultron again, and I will write a blog for the website and see if
my mind has changed. Shocked at how much more I enjoyed it the second time. I mean, I cried when Quicksilver died the second time. The first time I was like, eh.
I cried throughout that movie, man. I like just it better with Dark Light being touched.
Dad, I feel like an unfeeling bastard. I did not cry at all.
No, and it's funny because
I wonder why that is. Testosterone. I'm sorry.
That's right. Token male right here.
No, I think that's legit. I mean, I've read all the reviews, and they're all quite critical. And I honestly, it's like one of those things where I didn't want to dislike it, so I didn't. I wanted to enjoy it for what it was, and I did. I enjoyed it more the second time because I could relax about Hawkeye, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I was so stressed out about the fact that they were going to kill off Hawkeye, and I was like pissed that when they finally didn't, I was like, okay, now I can enjoy it. So the second time around, I caught a whole bunch of things that I didn't catch.
Yeah,
the reveal of Fury was phenomenal. Yeah.
I love him so much.
Well, we knew he was coming from the television show.
That was so awesome. When he flips, when Coulson flips the box, Gonzalez and says, have at it, go nuts, till Fury comes and gets it. Because on the show, he still thinks he's dead.
And then he goes, spoilers.
That was a great line.
And his phone rings, and it says Maria Hill. And he goes, oh, I have to get this.
Oh, I just love the Coulson character. He's just
I love him so much. I love that show. I really do love that show.
Okay. Well, did we cover everything? Did anybody think of anything else they want to...
Oh, I like the fact that Idris Elba made an appearance.
Yes!
Cool. So those dreams gave them an opportunity to, like, pop in people from, Agent Carter and Idris Elba. And
he actually mentioned that he did a scene with Tom Hiddleston for this movie, and they cut it.
That's so blasphemy!
I hope it's on the DVD.
Oh, yeah, better be. I'm sure it will be now that I think about it.
Now, I don't know if he's, like, tweaking people with that comment, but that's apparently
it would have made sense for Loki to show up in that dream. It would have made absolute sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they still don't know that... Okay, spoilers for Thor.
Well, he hasn't seen it, so don't spoil.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, no. There's something significant that happens at the end of Thor that you have to see that movie.
And I think that could be why it wasn't in the dream.
That could very well be.
Yeah.
I would have seen it if it's on Netflix, but Netflix, you know...
Is letting you down.
Is letting me down.
I think I have the DVD. I'll give it to you. All right. Fish. What else? Okay. Anything there?
No,
I love the reveal at the end of the new team. I just thought that was cool. That pan over all those characters that were sidelined for the majority of the movie, and it's like, so I'm assuming they're the next Avenger team. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
All
does
about?
That mean that like?
Does that mean no that Iron Man?
No Iron
no
Man.
Thor?
No Thor. No Hulk.
No. So the Avengers in the comics changed people all the time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So I just saw it as more Avengers. Than less.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I think unless they're going to keep Hulk MIA.
Well, I mean, they
better hurry up. Ruffalo's getting older. I don't know how long you can expect him. Because he's already almost 50, isn't he?
You know, one of my favorite scenes was that scene with Robert Downey Jr. and Mark Ruffalo when they're doing the little computer thing. I just thought that scene was so cool. And that's when I was thinking, it's really Robert Downey Jr. that gets my heart going pitter-patter.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about the montage?
So yes, the montage when they're creating the AI.
We didn't
even
talk about him.
Good.
And Robert Downey Jr. is just phenomenal.
I know.
End of story.
Yep. I adore him.
He set the tone with Iron Man, the very first movie, with that character, and he's never faltered, but you know there's a lot of depth, and you know there's a lot of tragedy, you know there's a lot of thought, and yet he keeps it light and funny and oops, sorry, and all this stuff, and you buy it. I buy it completely coming from Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And the contrast between his character and Captain America is really needed in this franchise. And
he's one of those actors, I can't imagine anyone else in that role.
Mm-mm. Exactly. I mean, the other thing is Chris Hemsworth. Can you imagine anybody else playing Thor?
I love how he keeps that accent. I mean, I just think that's brilliant. That accent just makes him seem so otherworldly, and I just buy it. Hook, line, and sinker.
I mean,
he's awesome.
Every one of these characters just kind of owns their roles. Even, I could see other actors playing Hawkeye.
Yeah.
But Jeremy Renner does such a good job that I really believe it. And everybody just, they take their parts and they do so much excellence with it. I love it.
And on that note,
I think it's time to go.
Very good call out. Thank you very much for listening. Next week, we'll come back with our regular scheduled episode 12. And we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. We'd love to get your feedback on this week's episode. You can follow us by using the Twitter handle at WECPodcast. That's WEC with two Ks. Like us on our Facebook page by searching for the keyword WEC, or you can email us at WECPodcast@gmail.com. Bye for now.